This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What matters to you matters to us. WWL, the news talk sports powerhouse of the Gulf South. Back to Tommy Tucker.
Let's get it. 55 degrees now at 614, going up to 73 today. 20% chance for showers, 30% tomorrow. Pardon me. Then highs of 76, then cools off a little bit for Sunday. And Monday, highs of 64 and 70 and dry, really, through the first couple of days of next week, and then maybe a chance for showers on Thursday. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay. You know, I was thinking last night that it might be better for LSU in terms of transfer portal if Ole Miss lost the game. Is there a case to be made there or not?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure, especially considering that several Ole Miss players are expected to, or at least have significant interest in coming to LSU, and now all that gets pushed back. And now, obviously, a lot of discussions, and I think we heard it from a Trinidad Chambliss leading up to the game that there's been no – he has not spoken to Kiffin personally. And, you know, obviously, that would be tampering, but Lane Kiffin and his general manager, Billy Glasscock, for sure have been talking to their representatives. So LSU has a pretty good idea on who is interested from this Ole Miss team as far as these guys that are wanting to come to LSU now. But all that is on hold. They got a college football playoff semifinal game next Thursday night over in Phoenix. So they got to get ready for that. And meanwhile, the transfer portal and transfer portal window opens today. There's going to be some good wide receivers in that window, and I guess if you're Lane and the staff, you have to have confidence that these guys, that based on talking to the reps, that if they really say that they are coming to LSU, you got to have confidence in it. But you just never know. You really never know in this situation. So this does make it difficult. Not only with that, it's unclear how many of these assistant coaches that are actually employed by LSU but are still coaching at Ole Miss, how many of them will continue to do that here over the next week. Probably offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss stays, but some of these other guys are supposed to be coming back to Baton Rouge and hosting recruits and this and that and really working for LSU. So this thing really does get even more tricky as the days go on.
So let's talk about some of the players that LSU could be interested in. You want to go by position first?
We could certainly do that, yeah.
Let's talk with start with receivers.
Well, receivers, I believe, you know, and this is, I think this kind of dovetails on what we were just talking about. I believe LSU is probably after, there's going to be a couple Ole Miss receivers that Lane Kiffin's going to want to bring with him here. And now you're at a holding pattern with that. So you have to wait and see. But
well, let me ask you this. In terms of tampering,
yes,
can LSU's people talk to an Ole Miss player's people or not at all?
Well, yeah, that's allowed. You could talk to the representatives, and that's, I think, where most of the discussion has been made. Now, Ole Miss is going to make the claims regardless of that LSU has been tampering, and there's going to be even more harder feelings after this once the dust all settles and we actually see how many players leave at Ole Miss for LSU.
So Boy, this is a mess. I'm just trying to figure out this Rubik's Cube here because,
yeah.
Right?
Right, right. And then the other thing here, Tommy, is that let's say they beat Miami next Thursday. This transfer portal window is open from January 2nd to the 16th. The national championship game is the 19th. But players who do play in the college football playoff championship game do get an extra five-day window that would be from January 20th to the 24th. So these players, I don't think they will do it. These Ole Miss players who intend on transferring, I don't think they're going to get in the transfer portal window or get into the transfer portal during this current window while their team is still alive in the postseason. So I don't think that will happen. If it does, I mean, that just even caused even, I think, more issues in this whole thing.
So I'm trying to get my head around this. If you don't know who you have.
Yeah.
Give me some names on the Ole Miss team, again, that LSU would be interested in besides Trinidad Chambliss.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's Trinidad Chambliss for sure. But I tell you what, Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, I think we talked about this last week, Tommy. This is the guy that might be, and who knows, if he puts on another great performance against a really good defense against Miami. I mean, and he's still waiting for that waiver to get to, get the 6 year of eligibility. He may just say, you know what, maybe the NFL is my best route.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, LSU's been connected to a lot of quarterbacks in the portal or that are going to be in the portal.
All right, let's go with that route then. Tell me about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, Brandon Sorsby from Cincinnati is one guy that's certainly been mentioned. DJ Lagway, who was at Florida, certainly another guy that's been mentioned. Sam Levitt at Arizona State. So you certainly have some guys there that there's no doubt that Lane's going to have to go out and get a couple quarterbacks. One of them might be more of a developmental guy, and then you got Michael Van Buren. But there's certainly this makes it much more complicated because you don't want to sit there and wait for Chambliss and the possibility that Chambliss, one, decides to go to the NFL,
right,
or two, does want to continue to play college football but doesn't get the waiver. Meanwhile, these other guys that you did have interest in end up committing and signing somewhere else.
And if for whatever reason you get these other guys, is there enough money to go around for everybody?
Well, I think they have this. This is one of the things that Lane Kiffin and Billy Klass got to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
General manager have been working on for the last month is, and this is why you've seen some of these, especially guys on the offensive line for LSU, enter the transfer portal, is because they have this pretty much structured. But the quarterback is kind of the big one you want. You know, when you're talking about trying to go out and get wide receivers and so forth through the transfer portal, they're going to want to know who the quarterback is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first big domino that really needs to fall is that quarterback. It is a quarterback position, and Ole Miss winning last night certainly complicates things.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. It's a mess. 6:23 traffic now, WWL. 6:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Transfer portal opens. Is there a time on that? What exactly does that mean? Is there an announcement? Do people contact? Do they have an announcement at like a coming out party and say, "Hey, look, I'm entering the portal"?
Yeah, a lot of it, on these recruiting services, On3.com, 24/7 have been. Their representatives are telling those reporters, and that's kind of how you're hearing about it. There's obviously a huge database that's open, and paperwork's being filed and compliance officers are dotting the I's and crossing the T's on a lot of these things. And we'll see if there's actually a flurry of commitments or guys are going to sign. Guys cannot start visiting, though, until January 5th. So until Monday is actually when they can actually visit a campus. But, you know, a lot of these players that are in the transfer portal may have already visited the campus that they could potentially be going to. So there's the possibility, or all they really care about is the money.
Yeah, and that was what I was going to say. Does it really matter?
There's no need to go visit. You know, the facilities are top notch. I would think you're going to see some guys that are going to commit. I think you're going to still see some more guys enter the transfer portal off this LSU team. You know, one of the latest yesterday was Kyle Parker from LSU, and you know he was a guy that I was pretty high on. And we'll see. Maybe there's a chance you can get him back, but. You know, we were talking in the last segment about a couple receivers that LSU may be interested in. I mean, it's been reported that Deuce Alexander and Winnie Watkins are two guys on this Ole Miss team that could potentially end up at LSU. So, you know, all this is in a state of flux. And then the other important thing to note here, Tommy, the window is open from January 2nd to the 16th, but these kids can commit whenever beyond January 16th. So they don't have to make a decision. But for compliance reasons, a lot of these guys do want to get this decision made so they can enroll in the spring semester and then participate in spring football.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have to go to school, too, huh?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody keeps talking about, well, the calendar's all messed up and this and that. Well, you can't move the spring semester. Now, what you could potentially do is move the college football season up. Move it up a week, get rid of these long delays between first-round playoff matchups and the quarterfinals and start the season right away. And maybe you can wrap up the season, say, you know, right around New Year's Day. I mean, that's a possibility if they want to do that. But, again, you know, those are things that are going to have to be decided at a later date. And, of course, we're looking at probably college football playoff expansion as well from 12 to 16 teams. So, a lot to be sorted out there.
And I did get lost in all of this. They do at the NCAA still does require them to be enrolled students, right?
Yes, they still got to be students.
For the time being.
There is a clearinghouse that is looking at all these NIL deals to see if they're up and up. But so far we haven't heard of, you know, we had that this football season. We never heard of a player being suspended or this or that. So I don't know really how much teeth is in that as well either, Tommy.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to Christian Pendleton about the French Quarter. We come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Christian Pendleton, board member at the French Quarter Management District. Morning, Christian. How are you?
I'm great, Tommy. Good morning. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Certainly different than it was last year on this date. Governor Landry announced a four-day mourning period to mark a year since the terrorist attack. Flags are at half staffs. That started at January 1st, yesterday at 3:15. January 4th, the governor ordered a moment of silence to remember the victims, encourages all churches to ring 14 bells at 3:15, and he asked all Louisianians to wear green and yellow to represent harmony, renewal, and happiness. Tell me what's the feeling in the quarter. What's changed in the last year?
I think the feeling in the quarter is somewhere between still being very much shocked that happened, and, you know, it happened in our backyard. I think sometimes when people think of terrorism attacks, their minds go to other parts of the world, and that it happened in our town and in our neighborhood, I think is still very shocking to a lot of people. I know there's still a lot of NOPD officers that are still processing that day. I think there's a little bit of frustration that more hasn't been done since then. And at the same time, I think there's a lot of optimism for the incoming administration in hopes that what they might do to better secure this vital neighborhood, not only just in New Orleans, but in our country.
See, along those lines, and I always go back to this, Christian, if this idiot doesn't perpetrate this attack a year ago, none of these conversations are even being had. But he did, and 14 people died. So we've had the conversations, but what really has changed since then, other than a lot of studies and a lot of conversations?
And unfortunately, I'm sad to say what you just said is what changed. A report from the Teneo Group, from a group of professionals that don't understand our neighborhood for sure, but they do understand the mindset of people that want to do these terrible things. And other than that, it's been really radio silent, silence from the administration. And so I think we are looking forward to the new council and the new administration and how they will approach this.
And that's not to in any way say that the security effort on New Year's Eve was not enhanced and that they had more eyes out looking for this, looking for that they would not probably have looked for last year. Were you in a quarter on New Year's Eve?
I was.
And what?
I was in a quarter.
What was your feel being there, Christian?
I feel very safe, but I grew up in a military household. So seeing the National Guard, seeing all that law enforcement, I moved here from Washington, D.C. more than 10 years ago. So that is not as startling to me as that might be to some people not from New Orleans. I know New Orleanians are also very comfortable seeing National Guard because of the various hurricane rollouts over the years. Mm-hmm. So I like it. I like the look. It gives me a sense that somebody is paying attention, is caring, is on the lookout. I just think that every year they are constantly having to find what is going to be the new avenue. I think the city has seen a lot of growth in drone activity because there's a lot of concerns around. So it is interesting to see, especially from my vantage point, the new things that are rolling out to try to, you know, better understand, to control, to document, and to be on the lookout for bad actors.
Thoughts about the different things that have been proposed? Because you say it's, you know, the Teneo Group, and they don't quite understand what kind of neighborhood the French Quarter is. First off, it's a neighborhood and a business corridor as well. They don't understand that in terms of security lockdowns, et cetera. Have you seen a plan that you are on board with or not?
I haven't seen anything yet. And again, the Teneo Group, they looked at everything purely from a security perspective. I don't want to say they don't understand. You know, they did exactly what they were asked to do. Based solely and only on security, what are your recommendations? But as New Orleanians and there are other factors that just need to be considered. I am not a fan of just a permanent closure of the French Quarter. It's a neighborhood. People live there. They need to be able to get to their homes. We need the services that are required in a neighborhood. So I think the permanent shutdown is, while it's an interesting starting talking point, I don't think there's much reality to it. I think there are some really interesting and thoughtful conversations going on around the barriers and where to put them and what to consider. So I am still optimistic. That's just who I am by my nature.
Yeah, you're reading ahead because that was going to be my question. You're a smart guy. You're the general manager at Brennan's, aren't you?
I am.
So you know the quarter, you know the businesses involved, you know the individuals involved. Do you think the administration has done anywhere near the outgoing administration? Has done anywhere near enough? Because I understand the Teneo Group, and I'm not throwing them under the bus or anything. I'm just saying that they looked at, yeah, you can, you know, it's like a contract. I can do anything you want if you got the money. We can shut down anything and make anything 100% safe. It's not going to really be practical in terms of the French Quarter community, both the business and the residential part of it. And I wasn't trying to criticize Teneo, but it has the outgoing administration maybe contacted the right people or pursued this strongly enough? What are your thoughts on that?
I think initially they did a very nice job having meetings with different groups, not just within the quarter, but the city and the state and even federal groups to understand what happened and to understand some possibilities. But I think once they did, I would call it a listening tour, the tour stopped. And I will be the first one to say, I don't know what I don't know. I just know they were very engaged for about 3 to 6 months, and then all that engagement has stopped. I've had some very good conversations with the incoming mayor over the last several months, and some members of council, I know they're excited to pick it back up and move towards some resolution. But the administration, it was 3 to 6 months, and then we were on to the next thing.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it when we come back. Talking to Christian Pendleton, board member of the French Quarter Management District, also general manager of Brennan's Restaurant. And we'll get some ideas from him and also about looking forward to the new administration, what might be done to secure the French Quarter. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Yeah? Go? Now? All right. 655, 5 till 7, some technical issues. Christian Pendleton, board member of the French Quarter Management District, our guest, talking about security in a quarter. Y'all never have technical issues, do you, Christian?
Oh, everything always works swimmingly all the time in the French Quarter.
Sure it does. So tell me, first of all, about the crowds in the quarter on over the weekend and last night. Did you notice any less crowd, or was it as busy and New Year's Eve and packed as ever?
It was as packed as ever. Both Ole Miss and Georgia traveled really well. A lot of locals love coming down to the quarter for special times of the year, going even back to caroling in Jackson Square. And through New Year's, the quarter has just been bustling.
So I know you are a general manager of a big business down there. You love the French Quarter. You said you lived in Washington for a long time, came here 10 years ago. What, in your opinion, because you can't keep everybody safe from everything. If some nut decides to go crazy with a gun, and I hope to God that doesn't happen, and I'm not putting any ideas in anybody's head, but if it happens, it happens. That's the society we live in, right? So you can never keep anybody perfectly safe from anything. Have you talked to the new administration, the new council, about any ideas, or has the French Quarter Management District kicked any ideas around?
We have certainly been engaged, I would say really starting since early last spring, with the council for certain. Freddie King, who is obviously the quarter, is his district, and he has been very, very engaged in front, as well as J.P. Morrell and Helena. So they are all of them, and that's just who I happen to have spoken to and FQMD has dealt with. Hyper engaged on what to do, and there's some disagreement amongst the three of them, but you know, disagreement on the hyper fine details. You know, what hours should it be open, what hours should it be closed, you know, different thought processes behind the barricades. There is certainly some state officials that have some thoughts about the barricades and styles of barricades, because there's a style of a barricade that's meant to deal with, you know, what happened last year in the car, but there also has to be considered that if all those barricades are closed to prevent the car, and then you have some sort of crowd crush situation, that now those barricades are hindering trying to, you know, safely evacuate an area. So I think sometimes, you know, people, it's as simple as 1, 2, and 3. Well, not really when you consider other scenarios. If you're just focused on one, then that's how you deal with that. But there are other things. You know, i.e. Mardi Gras, the hundreds of thousands of people that are in the French Quarter for Mardi Gras or French Quarter Fest, it requires a different thought process to do the two different scenarios.
It would seem to me the only solution is to have it designated a Sear One event and have the extra security on the streets for both Mardi Gras, if you're going to keep it safe, completely safe, or as safe as you can. Because having been through Archer barriers, bollards, this, that, the other thing, and spending God knows how much time on that last year and nothing changing, and it seemed as though it was a completely circular conversation, Christian, where, okay, this, but that, this, but that, this, but that, okay, but we're back to this. It would seem like that, to me, is the only solution, to have it designated a Sear One and get the help you need from the feds. Thoughts?
I don't disagree with you, and I also think that all of us have to come to grips. We're not going to get everything we want. There will have to be compromise.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Christian Pendleton, board member of the French Quarter Management District. I'm looking forward to talking to Paul Hollis when we come back, director of the U.S. Mint. I always ask people, you know, there's a story behind everybody, right? So it's like, when you were a kid, what did you want to be? You wouldn't think that Paul Hollis wanted to be director of the U.S. Mint when he was a kid. But guess what? He did, and he's going to be. Then we'll talk to Joe Geruso. Got a lot coming up. Stay with us on this Friday, January 2nd, 2026, in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini, or something like that. We'll be back, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.